Welcome in, very special Jock Market Power Hour. I'm Rick Gaiman, that right there, Joe Idoni. And Joe, first off, happy holidays, happy Thanksgiving. This is a little bit of a special episode because we do not have the full-on PGA Tour action this week.
That's right. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well, my friend, and all of our people that join us every week. Hope you guys have a great holiday. You mentioned it. We have no PGA Tour event this week for the holiday break. But we wanted to do something a little unique, a little special, bring on a friend, talk to them, and kind of just dive a little bit more into the game, strategy, gameplay, all that kind of good stuff.
I've been looking forward to this. I have a lot of questions for this person. So I guess without further ado, let me bring him in. It's Austin Blaski. Austin, first off, welcome. I will give you the proper introduction here, but thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you having me. I've been a long time watcher since this started, so it's cool to be on and chat it up with you guys.
Here we are, and all it took was $1 million in trades to get here. That's all it took, Austin. No, but seriously, the reason we wanted to bring you on is because in this new world of Jock Market, which Joe, well, I mean, what 18 months into cash markets? Does that sound about 18 months into cash markets? Austin became the very first guy to ever cross over $1 million in trades. And the story of how that happened is very interesting, Austin. But let me just back the train up here. And how did you figure out about Jock Market? What intrigues you about it? Like, how did this become a thing for you?
Yeah, so back in, it would have been last July, so it's been almost a year and a half now, almost. In your Slack channel, actually, someone actually mentioned that there was this new game, and you hear about a lot of these that kind of come up, and you check them out for a little bit, and then they kind of go away. And back then, they didn't. When I joined, they didn't even have cash markets, so it was a free app to play, and I was like, yeah, I'll play. And ended up putting $20 in. Back then they did the same. They matched the 20 and just was playing the free markets and liked the concept of it. It's a little different than kind of anything that was out there before. So just kind of was one of the first people in, I think, and just did well in the free markets and then joined the first, I think, was NFL. So just kind of joined that and from there just have almost been playing since then, and it's been a wild ride. It's been fun.
Austin, what's your background? Like, do you have a background in trading? Are you into the stock market? Is that why this thing kind of hit it off for you? Or what sort of brought you into here so deeply?
Yeah, so background, grew up always playing sports, played sports in college, played a little professional baseball after college. And then after that, just went to the workforce, basically, and kind of that competition aspect of always playing sports kind of led me to, well, I don't play anymore. The closest thing you can is gamble your money and have that thrill that way, as bad as that is. But, so just always with like DFS and gambling. That's kind of how I get my sports fix as well as watching. So, not too much in the stock world, just, a little bit here and there, but definitely more the sports and the gambling side of things for this. But I like the aspect how they join.
Yeah. And that's really awesome. And you mentioned, Austin, something that, I felt kind of the same way when I was introduced to Jock Market, which if you've stumbled in here, it's stock market for athletes, for sports. You can buy and sell. Now you can even short, shares of athletes in their respective sport. But kind of when I first came across it, I was like, I've seen this before. These have come and gone, these startups or whatever, but this seems to stick, and they seem to be growing, and especially because I think it's executed better than other versions of this that I've seen. So it's exciting, but the whole idea of going from a $20 deposit to over $1 million in trades, like, how do I reconcile that, right? Is that every cash market that's ever been available on Jock Market? Is it across a bunch of different sports? Give us a kind of a day or a week in the life of you on the Jock Market.
Yeah, so when it first started, I was playing almost every slate. I mean, no matter the sport, whatever it was, just because there were so few people that were doing it, you could almost have the worst slate ever and still make a few bucks. So I've really tapered off. Now I'll focus on NFL and PGA. I don't know if I've missed a slate of that, maybe one or two, but, and then on the off days, I'll play NBA or MLB or NHL just because, but really since it's gone, was focused on NFL and PGA is what I do now. But as far as getting, like you said, the $20 to the million in trades, I think that's just from being in one of the first users and didn't deposit much, but the bankroll got up quite a bit, and then just reinvesting back in the early days, and not as much anymore with the bankroll, but I would try to get almost every dollar I could into IPO and then just roll it over on the next slate. And you do that for a year and a half and you're at a million. So that's just try to get that money in and see where it goes.
Yeah. I was awesome. Kind of going to ask you about this because it's interesting. Like in any other format, it's a horrible idea, right? You hit it big one week to just dump it all back in there the next week. Like if you're gambling like that, eventually you're going to go to zero. Jock market's unique because you can't really go to zero. So even if every player in PGA, for instance, say you get 10 to 15 guys, they all miss the cut, you're still getting back a dollar per share there. Like, talk to me about specifically sort of the differences in the PGA contest, which is what Rick and I focus on, versus doing like NFL or some of these other sports. What makes it unique? Do you feel like it's advantageous? Do you feel like it's tougher or easier than other sports?
Yeah, so I think it depends. I think the PGA is very similar to like the NFL, the full slate they do on Sundays. And then the single game slates are unlike anything other. And I think we're really going to see that with this event coming up where there's only the 18 to 20 guys in the PGA. It'll act like a single game NFL slate. But one thing that I really liked about the app was it was new and no one knew anything about it. So early on, I really tried to dig in. Like, I focused almost more time after the slate and reviewing what went on, what I did, what everyone else did, rather than like the beforehand. And I think that really helped me gain an edge along the way, just kind of maneuvering, especially with PGA, how people were bidding. That kind of, there's no ownership in Jock Market like there is other DFS, but in a way there is for what the pricing goes for. The super popular guys are going to go over what their pricing should be, I guess. And I think you just zig when people zag, and it. So overall, I think all the markets play similar on strategy, but golf is definitely unlike any other because you're going to have, like Martin Trainer, what was that last week?
Yeah.
You know, missed seven cuts in a row, but pops once. And now his Jock Market, I guess, history, he's plus 30% return on investment. So it's very unique, and you see new things like that each day.
I love the idea, and you've kind of alluded to this a couple times, of you are really on the ground floor of this. And I still think that we are, you know, we're very much in the infancy of this, even as it continues to grow. But do you ever kind of reflect and say, wow, I was on the ground floor of something. I am in the top 001. I mean, you're the number one guy. You're the guy, right? The first one to cross over the $1 million in trades. Do you ever reflect? Because to me, there's not a lot of opportunities for that in the internet age or in kind of what we do to kind of be so ground floor and to lean into it so much that we've brought you onto a show and we want to pick your brain about it.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. It's definitely something that you like I've played, you know, I've gambled, bet on games, I've played other DFS sites, but on those you're almost hoping to like break even and have fun. And just kind of an entertainment aspect. And this has definitely been that, but yeah, to be one of the first ones. And then, as it grows, talking to other people who are playing, DMing on Twitter, kind of, them asking questions, me asking questions, kind of, it's really been cool to be one of the first ones, to play the app, and then where it's grown now to where there's tons and tons, more people every day on this show, every day on the markets. You see the free contest. I think they upped it to like 2,000 users, and it fills really quick. So to see that and to, yeah, like you said, reflect and where it's came from, it's been cool.
Yeah, and just to kind of like recap here, so I want to make sure I get this straight, because the story's unbelievable. Like, I've told a couple of people, they don't believe me. You started with a $20 deposit. You just cleared $1 million in trades. Like, what is it? Talk to people about the process, because I think there's a lot of people out there that are still sort of skeptical. They're not sure how this works. Is it legal? Is it some shady overseas book? Like, talk to us about sort of getting money in and then like taking money out of Jock Market. Like, is it simple? Is it difficult? Can you kind of explain that?
Yeah, definitely. So, and I think when they posted that, a lot of people, you see like the $1 million and don't read like in trades, not profit.
Right.
And they posted
big difference, but yep, still impressive.
So the Twitter universe got it pretty quickly, but they also posted it and tagged me on Facebook. And as you can imagine, people over there are like, holy, you're a millionaire. Like, just on this one app. And it's like, that's just how much is traded. But so explaining that was a little difficult, but especially if you're not familiar with the stock market. But I think I got an Excel sheet that Jock Market sent me of all the markets that I've ever entered.
That's cool.
To kind of reflect. And it was cool because I looked and I deposited 20, they matched the 20. So I had $40 cash before I even started. but just in the free markets was about $250 to $300 before they introduced the cash markets. And the first cash market was week one of NFL, and that would have been last year, 2020. And I had like a $400 profit, which back then seemed huge. I just doubled my money. So I think that was almost lucky in a way. I could definitely have seen where, you know, I lose a bunch in the first week, lose a bunch in the second week, and I just kind of forget the app and never play. But so the first couple of weeks of NFL were super big to get the bankroll loaded. And I think at first people were skeptical and said, I just made like a couple $100 pretty easily in withdrawing the money. And with Jock Market, I've only done it a couple times, maybe one time of withdrawal. And it's super quick. I've talked to other people. It's a 1 day return. Usually they deposit it right to your bank account. It's super big, but I'd say that was one of the biggest things that I've done. That has helped me along the way. Early on, people make $500 and withdraw half of it. And I kind of noticed early on, the more you can have in your account, you're so much of a bigger player. So
yeah.
I have only withdrawn a very small amount and just kind of kept rolling it over and rolling it over, because I knew, you know, from 500, get it all in. The next week, you're putting it all back in. And that was kind of my strategy as they were trying to grow. The markets were really fruitful. You could make a lot playing almost every slate. And I think that's what's really helped me, is knowing that early on, where some other markets are gambling, you hit big, you're withdrawing a lot of that out and putting, you know, a tenth of it in the next week to be smart. This I really noticed the smart way was to get as much in an IPO as you could.
It is interesting that, you said the guys over at Jock Market, they sent you a spreadsheet with all your results. I know that, they sent you a bottle of champagne when you crossed over the $1 million mark. That to me is still fairly, that's rare to be able to interact with an app or a site in that way. I thought that was a pretty cool little touch that they pulled off.
Yeah, it's been cool. Dave, I've had a lot of emails back and forth with him on just, you know, being one of the first players in the space, him asking things we can do better, changes that he wants to make, and kind of seeing like, do you think this is a good idea? What, you know, just kind of help improving. And yeah, he sent me an email. It was maybe 4 o'clock one afternoon, and kind of told me, hey, we're going to run this story with you. You're about 20 grand away from hitting the $1 million mark. And I had no idea. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And he's like, hey, shoot me your address real quick. I got something to send you. And it was maybe 4:30 that day, half hour later, someone knocked and Oh, and no it had kidding. Delivered. So yeah, it came very quick and I was very surprised. My God. And, yeah. That's cool. Very appreciative of him doing that. He's like, all I asked is just give me a picture so we can add it to the tweet. And yeah, it was cool. So it's been good to kind of grow with that and kind of have my input and kind of see what works and what doesn't on like where I've played quite a bit of the slates and kind of dabbled in all the sports. So it's been real cool to do that.
That's cool.
Really unique crew over there. We found as well. Great people. Always welcome to feedback and making sure that their product is top of the line. But I want to kind of circle back. So you mentioned like the majority of what you do is you try to get as involved and as many shares as you can in the IPO phase without like giving people the secret sauce.
No, here. Give people the secret sauce. Give it up.
Yeah, maybe give people a little bit. Give them a little bit. But what is like? Like, talk to me. Are you waiting till the end? Are you trying to get shares in early? Are you utilizing the API or are you just doing this on your phone? Like, give us a glimpse behind the curtain to like the final 10 minutes of, say, PGA IPO for you.
Yeah, definitely. So I think playing for so long, I know kind of my strategy. So I won't bid anything like early. I'm very late to bid. I know kind of my target number of players that I'm trying to end up with, how many I need to bid to end up with that, knowing I'll get outbid on a few.
Right.
So I'm usually starting about 8:40 on PGA. So it gives me a 20-minute window to kind of scroll through, gives me a few minutes at the end to hopefully go back and bid on guys that that I want. So that's kind of how I do it, is I'm very much at the end. The biggest thing that's worked well lately is with the favoriting tool. I don't use it too much as players that I want to bid on, but guys that I already bid on that I know at the end, those are like the main ones that I want to go back and rebid if I'm outbid, which has been super helpful because a lot of times I usually target 35 to 45 players in PGA. So
I was going
to
ask you, okay.
You can't go back and look at all that list because if you get your bids in too early, you're going to get outbid with the rush the last 2 to 3 minutes with the players who are only bidding 5 to 10 and they have those targets already set. So that favoriting tool has come in handy with that. Just going back and getting the players that I want, or I think that are too low.
Are you doing it all through the app then?
All through the app. Yeah. I use my just on my phone. So cool. That's seems to work well. I kind of have, seems dumb, but with, I'll have specific, like, I always bid like the same last two numbers. So like $2, 33, 44, 55. It sounds dumb. It probably is, but I think it just saves a little bit of time on clicking and you're trying to go through 160 player list.
Look at that. So,
And then the shares, I do that as well. And I think that's almost become like a habit. So whether I'm targeting like 33 shares of a player, 44, I rarely do like an off number. So
So Joe, you got sniped on this, I guess last week or maybe the week before, where someone you bid like $8 and somebody got you at like 801 or something like that. And I was like, if you like, you never make it $8 flat, you make it like 807 or like 813 or whatever, so that you don't get sniped.
Austin here is way ahead of the game because he's saving milliseconds.
He's saving milliseconds
by not going from the 6 to the 7. He's just 6-6, 7-7. Like,
I love it.
And that's how you
now,
do it.
The app sometimes in the big slate, especially football, it'll take a little bit for your bid to place and get back to the screen where you can X.
Yeah.
And I think it was maybe like week 6 or 7 in NFL. And it was, the app was super laggy, and all of the guys that I know through DMs and Twitter, at the end, none of us got shares of really anyone. And it was all like the top guys. 'Cause I don't know how Joe does it, if he favorites and goes from there, but I usually start from the bottom and work my way to the top. Just 'cause you see the most change at the top. So we all got shut out on all like the top five guys in the NFL slate, which in a single game slate, that's the moneymaker. Right. So, it's more of a habit than a time saving thing, but something I've felt like I've always done that helps.
Now, Now, are you a buy and hold guy, or are you making trades throughout the course of these games, whether it's NFL over those 3 hours or over PGA over 4 days? How involved are you in the in-game aspect of the jock market?
Yeah, I'd say most of my stuff is in the IPO, buy, hold. Okay. Now, it does vary. I do, and I got burned on it a couple of times, but after the event, so especially PGA, where the IPO ends at 9, you have a whole night that it goes. So I'll usually check right after about 9:30, and you can go in there. A lot of times there's 5, 6, 7, 8 guys that you can share, sell for $1 profit a share. So I've always had I've always done that because I did it early on when I needed the bankroll, and it was almost a habit of like, hey, I need to go secure some profit while it's there.
You're saying there's actually a window because of the uniqueness of PGA, where the IPO closes Wednesday night, the tournament starts Thursday morning, that within an hour or two of IPO closing, you can sell, before this thing even starts, shares of golfers for $1 more than you have paid for them.
Yeah, especially you'll see some guys go under the radar, and they might, especially the guys with the high pre-rank that aren't necessarily like the best golfers. We see it. I think it was with Aaron Wise the other day, where he was a high ranked golfer, but he's maybe 15th on the odds board, but he's ranked 3rd in jock market. Well, his average share that jock market is saying might be $9 or $8, but his IPO was $4.75. So they see that break even of $8, and there's bids of $6, $7 because they're being told it's worth $8. So guys like that, I'll take my profits on. I usually like the hold, but yeah, that's more in. And then you got an hour window of NFL. So the main slate closes at 12, and it doesn't start till 1. Usually you can make a good bit there. But on I'd say 95% of my shares are being held till the end, whether that's good or bad.
Have you found any sort of benefit to shorting guys yet? I know in PGA sometimes it's tough, but like, this, at the other hand, it's so variable, right? Like, how many tournaments in a row, Rick, are we now where the guy who's leading Saturday does not win on Sunday?
Too many, I believe, is the answer to that question.
I'm hoping that changes course this week. But do you see any sort of benefit to that in PGA, or is it still sort of evolving as those sort of targets get closer together?
Yeah, I've definitely keep my eye out for it, but I haven't had too much luck and haven't really dabbled in it too much. Now, I think there were some people talking on Twitter a week ago about, and Jock Market had mentioned, where IPO shorting was in the works, which I think that will be very beneficial. I think especially in the sports, golf will be a little tough because the highest guys go for $7, $8, but your other sports, like especially NBA, where these guys can get up to $18, $19. In the market. I mean, I'll probably end up losing money on it, but I'm going to be shorting those guys almost every slate. I mean, a blowout or, you know, an injury and they drop
or foul trouble, like anything,
you know, you're making a $18, $19 a share, which if you think about a $5, $6 golfer winning, that's kind of the same. So I haven't got too much into the shorting, but I think I definitely will in the IPO. And I think that's one thing. It'll be tough to see how Jock Market does it with the bankroll, because now shorting, if you short a $5 guy, you have to submit $20 in your funds.
Right.
So I think that'll be interesting how they're going to do that with the IPO shorting. If they can find a way to balance that out, I think that'll be really beneficial, especially at the start. Everything with Jock Market, when it first rolls out, there's huge opportunity. So I think that'll be definitely something I'm looking at.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as other strategies go, tips, tricks, is there anything you're willing to divulge to the people that maybe gets overlooked, or maybe people don't understand maybe as well as you do?
Yeah, I think one thing that I've always done is just kind of zig when people are zagging. It sounds silly, but I mean, you look at like daily fantasy and everyone plays the ownership, always, you know, too much ownership, not, you know, and here I think when it first rolled out and this show first started, you would see guys $10, $11, $12, $13 in IPO. And the narrative was, well, if he finishes eighth or better, or whatever, but 156 guy field, you know, eighth or better is tough no matter who you are. So, but back then I think I was an early adopter of leave the guys at the top, just hammer the middle and the bottom range. And I had a note that, so there's been eight tournaments this year in this new golf year, and the highest earner has never been the winner of the tournament. So the highest percentage back is never the winner. I think you have to go all the way back to the Wyndham in August, where the winner of the tournament was actually the highest return on Jock Market. So, and even guys, I was looking at it kind of yesterday, kind of doing some research on your site, Rick, and I was looking at guys who had really great years last year, like Morikawa. He was an average 25% return. Hovland was 16. And Cantlay, who was the player of the year with four wins, was 35%, which seems huge. But then no names like Andrew Landry was 36%. Hagee was over 50%. And then even like Martin Trainer, we just talked about him. But he's had one tournament in the last year since Jock Market's on, and he's an average of 52% return, which is insane. So I think targeting guys like that was really helpful when everyone was going to the top. And now it seems like people have kind of gasped that strategy, and now the top guys have been going for $7, $8, $9. So I've been targeting a lot more guys like that. Like this week, it'll be over before this airs, but guys like Webb, who I thought were just undervalued. So that's the biggest thing I do, is when everyone goes one way, I try to go the other, and usually it works out pretty well.
That's awesome.
That's interesting. So pretty much whatever Rick and I are kind of talking about, Austin just goes the other way.
The opposite. Probably. That's probably the smart. That's probably the smart move to do. Yeah.
No, but do you see? To me, 35 guys seems like a ton to like keep track on in bid. Are you? You know, I've kind of, Rick and I've talked about it before, how I will sort of create a spreadsheet and create a mock price point basically that I'm comfortable for these guys in the field. Are you doing anything like that? It seems tough with that many guys, or are you just kind of letting it fly based on, you know, your eye test and what you know about PGA golf and who you see as value at a certain particular time?
Yeah, a little bit of both, I think. So this has really been popular in like fantasy football, like season long drafts, but I do more of like a tier based. So I think like, to me, the 50th ranked golfer is not that much different than the 80th ranked golfer. So I'll break it down in almost like tiers at the bottom, you know, bigger tiers, almost 1 to 150. Almost they're all interchangeable. There might be a few guys in there, but kind of break it down into tiers, and the higher ranks go, I'll break it in smaller tiers, maybe more specific prices on those. But that's kind of how I do. I'd say I'll bid on 70 guys to get to that 35 to 45 number, sometimes more depending on how the slate looks and the pricing. But yeah, I think that's the strategy that's worked. I tried to do kind of the piece price for each guy, and it just didn't work for me. IPO is too crazy to, when you're bidding on all those guys, you end up just bidding to bid and not even paying attention to what you did. So I think with this, it's really important. Like Sam Burns, love Sam Burns last week, but not at $12 a share. So I think having the strategy of that, where you gotta let guys go no matter what you think about them. If they win the tournament, they win the tournament. But I think overall, just having that strategy has helped do that. So I really try to use that tier based and stay disciplined to getting guys cheap and letting guys go that I think are overpriced, no matter how much I think they're going to do well or how much I like them. It's a mix, because sometimes I will buy guys because I want to see them do well. So I try to mix. Put the profit up there as importance, but it's also fun to gamble.
That's awesome. Austin, you've been very generous with your time. I don't want to take too much more of it, but we talked about how open the Jock Market team is to improvements and feedback. We've talked about how the evolution of this, you know, these cash markets in just a little over a year has changed so much. Are there any things that you would kind of like to see change or be improved on in these future versions or iterations of the Jock Market?
Yeah, I think the IPO shorting is a good step. I think with these new apps and stuff, I think it's important to make changes and make add-ons, but not too much. So I think it's tough because if people like it, you don't want to change it too much, but you also don't want it to get stale a year in. So I think it's tough. I think and I think you've talked about it on the show before, but adding some type of like tournament aspect where golf's a good example. You get 4 days, even though it's a same event, but having like a monthly tournament of that, where it could be like the free contest, except with like a paid entry, pay $100, you bid, and it's a month long contest that pays out, the leaderboard, something like that, I think would be cool and have a lot of interest. Just kind of figuring out how, if you do it kind of as a cash market, it could get a little iffy because people aren't putting in the same. So I think some sort of like monthly tournament or week long tournament, I think would be really cool to see.
That would be cool. Also, Joe, you know what I want? And I don't, maybe I shouldn't be saying this because I have no idea if it's in the works or not. I want to be able to create private contests. Like I want where like everyone who listens to this show could be in the same contest, all pay $10. I don't know if that's in the works. If it's not, it should be, but like that would be cool as well.
Yeah, I think, like you mentioned, it could be possible. It would have to be kind of like a la Austin said, where there's basically an entry fee, right? There's 100 shares per player, and there's a $10 entry fee, and it's just an all-out bidding war with you know, how many dollars you have in the, you know, with the $10 or $100 that you put in, and see where things go. But would definitely love to see some sort of longer format. It just makes golf, like, it's fun with golf because it allows you to really sort of go for the narrative that we all look for, which is like you want to buy low on someone and you want to try to be on the forefront of that rise and a victory. So that'd be very cool.
Yeah, one thing I think I saw on Twitter and it was a good idea was as they keep growing and the shares go from, I think when they started, it was 20 to 25 shares a player. And now the bigger events, you got 6, 7, almost 1,000 shares in some of these NFL slates. Is someone mentioned having like a 5-minute window after the IPO where you can go buy shares of guys at the IPO price, or maybe it adds $1 or 10%, you know, something like that, to where if guys miss out, you can go buy a bunch of shares or, you know, even a few shares of something after the IPO for kind of a fee for missing out, but something like that. I think just adding
that's a good idea.
Kirks like that, I think would be cool, but I like it the way it is too. So if it doesn't change, I'm fine. I'm pretty open to just about anything at this point. So it's been fun.
I love it. Okay. Well, Austin, listen, we are going to get you out of here. That's Austin Blasky. Much appreciated. If you listen, Austin only started with a $20 deposit and he got matched on the 20. We can do better than that. We can do up to $50 now if you do power. Austin, the promo code is power. Austin, if you would have gotten a $50 deposit, you'd be up to like $10 million in trades by now, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the 50, that's 2.5 what I got. So getting in early, I guess paid off in the long run, but waiting a little bit, you get that extra deposit, that extra $50 goes a long way in some of these markets.
That's awesome. Austin, really appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks so much for the time and congratulations on everything and good luck, continued successes in the Jock Market.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
That's Joe. You can follow him on Twitter @TorPicks. You can follow me @RickRunGood. This has been your Jock Market Power Hour. Good luck.